today on Real Radio.
What is it that you're believing? What is your doctrine of belief? Number one, can the God of the Bible do this? Can the God of the Bible part the Red Sea? Can the God of the Bible raise the dead? Yes, that's my God. What can your God do?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called With God's Defense, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah prophesied during one of the most turbulent periods in Judah's history. Isaiah was constantly given messages from God about the moral breakdown of the times, but the book of Isaiah is often quoted in the New Testament also. Visions of Jesus Christ as the Messiah and about his return when he sets up his millennial kingdom here on earth. In chapters 36 through 39, we saw how Isaiah deals with events that are currently happening in Judah. How Assyria, Judah's greatest enemy, had surrounded Judah, and how Assyria's field commander was mocking them with lies. The nation of Assyria was ruled by Sennacherib, a title that means the Great One, and was greatly feared by Judah because no one had ever survived his attacks. But Judah's king Hezekiah prayed to the Lord for help. And now we're going to see how God delivers Judah from the Assyrians in a miraculous way. Today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that Hezekiah was sick and near death when God rescued Judah. Isaiah tells Hezekiah to get his house in order, but God gives Hezekiah 15 more years to live. Still, Hezekiah sins and it doesn't end well for him. And now continuing his lesson called With God's Defense, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Now watch what happens. I think this is telling. Verse 37 says, "So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away." Well, okay. "And he returned home and remained at Nineveh." Nineveh today is called Mosul in Iraq. And look what happens. This is amazing. "Now it came to pass," verse 38, "as he was worshiping in the house of Nesrach, his god, that Adrammelech and Sherezriz, his sons, struck him down with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat," that's in Turkey. "Then Esrodan, his son, reigned in his place." What do I want to point out here? Verse 38, first of all, is this. He returns home, and he goes and prays to his God, and because your Bible is true and it's always true, and every time you stick a shovel in the ground and dig around, you get to find out how much more accurate the Bible is. This is a picture. I'll show you a couple of pictures of that actual God from the Assyrian Empire. This is from the British Museum. This is real Sennacherib stuff. You can look it up later. It will tell you that's his God. At the British Museum, it's the real deal. But here's the thing. It's this man-like thing with this eagle head. And I think we have a close-up of it. And here it is. You say, "Well, that's ridiculous." Yeah, you know what? I know it's ridiculous. I agree with you. But number one, listen, go ahead and leave that up there. Number one, when you don't have the truth, you will believe a lie. And some of us have lived long enough to know that we have friends or family members that we've shared the gospel with for a long time, and they just wind up not listening. Have you noticed that there comes some point in time when at first they were listening and they had questions and then they decide, nope. Have you noticed what they do? Once they turn off their attention to the things of God, very, very fast in short order, you find out from them that they are worshiping crazy things. You can almost set your watch to it. "Well, I've been witnessing to my friend for a long time, Jack." Well, listen, if he doesn't come to Christ, there comes a point in time. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs, "He who is often rebuked will harden his heart. And when he does," it says, "he will be swept away without remedy." Why? What happens? The same thing that happened with Noah. For 120 years, Noah preached righteousness to the people of the world. And they didn't listen until the door was shut and time was up. Who in the world would worship stuff like this? People who shut their eyes against the truth. They don't want the truth. Something supernatural happens to them to where they won't believe. Number two, these are idols. These are icons. This is a relief, but there are images, there are little statues of various sizes, even trinkets of this god and 360 Babylonian gods. You pick one and you would tote those gods with you. You would keep them with you. They're your lucky charms. They would be your rabbit's foot. Seriously, you take your gods with you. And some people today put their gods on the dashboard, as it were, of their car as they drive. The only problem is you got your icon looking the wrong way. That's looking at you. You should turn it around so you can see where you're going. Trusting in things, trusting in externals. Listen, how in the world could somebody trust in a eagle-headed, man-shaped body god of the past? When you're given over to deception, you'll believe in crazy things. Today, in the 21st century, people believe in the strangest things and the most ludicrous things. They've got the most bizarre arguments. And you'll talk to somebody and you're thinking, this has got to be a joke. It's no joke to them. They've come to the point where this is my doctrine. This is where I stake my claim. And you name it. Aliens, whatever. No, this is it. This is the way that it is. And they're giving up or they're giving over. And he had done that. And notice, he goes to the house of his God and he's killed. Hezekiah goes to the house of the God and he's delivered. And this is what I want to put out to you tonight is, I believe, because we humans are spiritual creatures, I've concluded this. I think this is profound, but if it is, then it's God's idea, not mine. But I thought this today. Listen, you got two guys on the opposite end of the pendulum here, and both of them went to the house of their gods or God. And I've made this conclusion. Every one of us within the hearing of my voice will die at some point in time in the house of your God. You think of it. You say, what do you mean? Well, I'm a believer. Yeah, I get that part. But listen, the moment you and I as believers die, the Bible says to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. The Lord is always with us, and I don't have to be in a church building to have God with me. Wherever I go, wherever you go as a believer, God's with you. And listen, the day that I die, I'm going to be, as it were, dying in the house of the Lord, wherever he is, and where I'm. It's the best place to be. See, what if you're rowing a boat? God's going to be in my boat. And when I die, I'm going to die with him, and I'm going to wake up with him. I'm going to live with him. But I've made this conclusion. Sennacherib died in the house of his God. And the atheist is going to die in the house of his God. The agnostic's going to die in the house of his God. Everyone believes in God or gods. You will die in that house. Here's my question. Here's my challenge. What kind of house is it? David said, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And listen, all the days of David's life was in this world and in the world to come. What is it that you're believing? What is your doctrine of belief? Number one, can the God of the Bible do this? Can the God of a Bible kill 185,000 or have an angel kill 185,000 bad guys one night? Can the God of the Bible part the Red Sea? Can the God of the Bible raise the dead? Yes, that's my God. What can your God do? You say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in that silly stuff. You still have a God. You may be it, but you still have a God. Man must place his trust somewhere, and he'll do it. Where's your trust? Where's your hope? What are you leaning on? We all lean on someone. No, you Christians, God's your crutch. He's our wheelchair crutch. He's the gurney, the bed, the hospital, the rehab center. He's everything. You know what? I'll admit it. We can't go to the bathroom without him. We can't breathe without him. We can't walk without him. Crutch, forget that. And so I find it always funny, the people who say that, For them to go to sleep at night or calm their nerves, they gotta go get Budweiser with them or Jim Beam. They gotta hang out with one of those guys. Captain Morgan. It's funny, they have these names. Captain Morgan, Jim Beam. Who are these people? How do you know? How do you know all these names? Just kidding. You could work at a store. I get that. But God intervenes and he steps in it. It's truly awesome. Look at verse 38. This is remarkable because you might want to write this down in your margins there in chapter 38. It says, but in those days. What does that mean? This is neat. This is what's called a parenthetical insert. And in other words, what's happened in chapters 36 and 37? Oh, by the way, in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near to death. He was sick. He had a sickness while all this stuff was going on, just to make things worse. So this kind of, listen, it's not chronological order now. Don't think that chapter 38 happens after 37. It's 38 is making a comment on the days in which all of this stuff from chapter 36 to 39 takes place. It's kind of like you're snooping around. You're reading a little report from the day. Way back when, but this is important for us. It says that he was sick and near to death in those days, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Boom. I mean, that's a drop microphone right there. He says, oh, by the way, you're going to die. Now, he didn't say when, but he says you're going to die. A lot of scholars believe that he was going to die like momentarily. I mean, we don't know. But Isaiah, God must tell Isaiah, go tell him he's going to die. Watch what happens. And boy, I got to tell you, where we're going to go right now is going to cause some controversy, and let it happen. Because you got to walk through this, people. This is outside the box, okay? Verse 2 says, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall. The word means he turned his face away from Isaiah. We don't know why. Would he not hear it? Is he denying it? We don't know. Is he terrified, didn't want Isaiah to see it? We don't know. We don't know. But he does an about face on Isaiah. And he says there, or he prays to the Lord and says, listen, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart. That's awesome. Can you say that? Can I say that? And have done what is good in your sight. In other words, what he did 24/7, he's saying, God, you've been pleased with the way I've conducted my life privately and publicly. We have no reason to doubt his accuracy about his life with God. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Put yourself in his sandals. You've been given a death sentence. You've not only been given a death sentence, you've been given a death sentence by a man who hears from God, Isaiah. Even to this day, the most revered prophet of Israel in the 21st century is Isaiah. And Isaiah tells you, you better get your house in order. By the way, the word means get your house in order. It doesn't mean clean up the closets and mow the lawn before you croak. It means check, secure, make sure you're right with God spiritually. Get your house in order. Make sure you're spiritually sound with God. Isn't that gracious? Everybody, are you hearing me? Isn't that gracious? That God would say to you, get your house in order. That's merciful. Is someone dying of cancer? Is someone dying of an illness? Merciful. You say, what do you mean? That's much more merciful than the grill of a Mack truck or the front of a train or a heart attack or a massive brain seizure or hemorrhage. Think about it. Do you know anybody who's been given a note that in translation would say from the doctor, get your house in order? That's the mercy of God. I just talked to somebody this week. Their loved one is in a coma. And I and I I asked them, do they know the Lord? And listen, this is never good. When you ask someone, do they know the Lord? Okay, forget it. I said, don't. You hesitated? Not good enough. If you hesitate, not good for them. And I said, get to them now. Get out of this church. Get to their hospital bed and start giving them the gospel. Listen, they said, he's in a coma. Have you ever talked to a human being who's come out of a coma? And they'll tell you, I heard everything everybody was saying. I was locked inside my body like this. I heard everything. You know somebody in a coma? Go give them the gospel. Well, hey, listen. They could accept the Lord. Look, it's not you. You're just a messenger. They could accept the Lord laying in that bed talking to God. I think comas are mercy from God. Think of that. Well, Hezekiah is weeping bitterly. He's crying out to the Lord. Would you be doing the same thing? Every one of us would be doing the exact same thing that he's doing. There's no doubt about it. And so he weeps. Verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of who? This is very rare in the Bible. The God of David, your father. I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, and I will add to your days 15 years. I wonder what Isaiah's thinking. I said, man, I just went. I told him he's going to die. Come on, back me up, God. Kill him. I'm a prophet of integrity here. That guy's got to drop now. But something's going on. You know, we're making light of it, but this is not all that it's cracked up to be. Please listen. He says, I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Hey, church, keep your finger right there in verse 6. Look back at chapter 37, verse 33. Watch this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return. Watch. And he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. Boy, we need that right now against ISIS in America, right? There's some 5,000 ISIS warriors suspected in the United States right now. We need God to say, nope, not going to happen. How could that possibly? Jack, yes, we need that. How do we do that? Pray to the Lord. He's the only one that could protect us. Surely. I mean, think about that. Wow. So watch what happens. Here's the answer, verse 35. For I will defend this city, save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Wow, God made a promise to David. God's committed to Jerusalem. God's committed to himself. And God tells Isaiah and Hezekiah, I'm gonna give you 15 more years. But watch what happens. Remember, he was crying out to God. He wept bitterly. He was intense about it, right? We know that. Look at verse 7. And this is the sign to you from the Lord that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, verse 8 says, I will bring the shadow on the sundial which has gone down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backwards, so the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. What does that mean? If you want to read more about this, you can go to 2 Kings 18 and 19 and read that. There's more description. It's the exact same event covered in 2 Kings starting at chapter 18. What's the deal? The offer is made to Hezekiah, recorded in 2 Kings. What sign are you looking for? Do you want God to confirm it to you that he's going to do this by having the sun move 10 degrees forward or 10 degrees backwards? And Hezekiah says, hey, the sun's going to move forward anyway. The shadow's going to move forward anyway. Have it go backward. Now, I don't know what you think about that. So, you know, why is God doing this? I don't know. But it was to confirm, I'm going to do this. And what's with the sundial? In the days of Ahaz, there was an actual sundial built. Not like you think. You know the sundials you have in your garden or whatever, or grandma's garden. It's not like that. This was actually, it's actually a staircase. It sat out in the open. It looked just like a staircase. And they would mark time by that. They would mark seasons and times by it. And God had the shadow go backward. You say, I don't know if I can believe that. Listen, if you can believe Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, then moving a shadow is nothing. And so this thing happens. And here's where it gets wild, you guys. It says in verse 9, this is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and had recovered from the sickness. He's now healed. Pay close attention, everybody. This is him speaking, not God. I said, in the prime of my life, I shall go down to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the remainder of my years. I said, I shall not see Yah. That's the name of the God of the Bible. The Lord in the land of the living. I shall observe man no more among the inhabitants of the world. My lifespan is gone, taken from me like a shepherd's tent. I have cut off my life like a weaver. He cuts me off from the loom. From day until night, you make an end of me. I have considered until morning like a lion, so he breaks all my bones. From day until night, you make an end of me like a crane or a swallow, so I chattered. I mourned like a dove. My eyes fail from looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake or gird me up. What shall I say? He has both spoken to me and he himself has done it. I shall walk carefully all my years. Listen, because he doesn't do this. In the bitterness of my soul, O Lord, by these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. So you will restore me and make me live. Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. For Sheol cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. The living man, he shall praise you as I do this day. The Father shall make known your truth to the children.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called With God's Defense, Part 2. Thank you for joining us today. And with God as our healer, our provider, and our defense, His will is always what's best for us. With God's Defense, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, God's love runs deep. However deep you may have fallen, God is deeper still to catch you and to lift you back up again. So if you desire an encounter with God that's not just on Sunday, the best way to do that is with a quiet devotional time, just you and the Lord. Pastor Jack understands how important it is to spend quality time with God. That's why he has a devotions tab at the website. Now, these weekly devotions are written by Pastor Jack, and he also includes his previous devotions for daily use. Now, there's a section where you can subscribe to his devotional newsletter when you give us your email address. So go ahead and do that at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.